The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Thank you for listening today. This is Bert Harper, and we thought about singing the song Back in the Saddle again. I've been out a week, and I appreciate so much Alex and Jim and everybody taking apart, Brent putting things together at the last minute to have these shows broadcast. But we're live today, and we're excited about that. But Alex can't be with me today. He's on his way back from Canada. He was up there in Vancouver. He was speaking at colleges, had a debate, preached at churches, doing the Alex thing. And so he's on his way back in airports, I don't know where. But today with us, I have a special guest, and I'm excited about being with us, and it's Vice President of here at AFR, Derek Hayden. Derek, you've been on with us before with a testimony or two, but I really wanted you on today to share with us about, you know, God is able to use what we have, no matter what it is, under His care and under His blessing. And the reason I wanted you on it, because you know me, and you know God hadn't given me a lot, but I get to use what I have, and I want you to testify to that fact.
Bert.
It is good to have you, brother.
It's good to be here, brother. It's good to be here.
Well, again, exploring the Word, we go through the Word of God. We've been going through and looking at the thread of redemption. Alex had trouble with his throat. I've had difficulties and out, but feeling much, much better now. And traveling, but we're still going on it. But today we're going to look at something a little bit different, and that is what I was talking about. In Matthew 25, we have where God gave this parable. The king gave three different men three different amounts of talents or money and gifts, and they were to use it for his glory and for his benefit. And we want to look at that today. I find this one of the most intriguing parables in the Bible.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And so there's a lot of teaching there, and you may come out with different, but I want to share with you today. And I asked Derek to be on and to help me run this comment. But before we do, we want to be faithful to give thanks to those of you that helped with India Partners.
Amen.
Wasn't that something? Here's
wow.
These children, these girls, and they're going to have years now of safety. I'm excited about that.
I am too. And you know, Bert, year after year, when we do this particular push program that we raise money to help them, I am amazed and at the same time so overwhelmed with the response that we get from our listeners, because it touches them at the very core of their heart.
I agree. Let me give the update. It's 37,000 days of safety and rescue.
Praise
provided.
God.
The gospel's presented. They're in safety. They're encouraged educationally. They're in spiritually, physically, needs are met. And you're reaching their mothers while you're reaching them as well.
That's right.
So you're getting a lot. 37. Our goal was 14,000, so we went over our goal.
Just a wee bit.
A little bit.
And it happens every time. And, you know, when you think about it, you brought up a word that is so – every time I think about it myself, it makes me praise God even more for this particular project. Feeling safe.
The your grandparent, I'm a grandparent. Knowing your children were safe was very important. Knowing those grandkids are safe is doubly important.
Yes, sir.
And having these girls over there that are safe in this lodging is beyond measure something that I believe touches the heart of God. I want to give you something else. You've been around with AFR, AFA for quite some time. I was on the board, and I enjoyed it. Here's what I thought, and I still think it after being up close and personal. Our ministry has been blessed beyond measure. I believe the reason, one of the main reasons, is not just us faithfulness to His Word. I know people who are faithful to God's Word, faithful in witness, and financially in every way struggle so much, but we have been a blessing to other ministries as we have grown. We haven't become Dead Sea where we take it all in and keep it, but we're able to be a channel of blessing for others who carry out ministries that God has the heart of God in it.
I do too. I agree with that 100%. I really believe that that's what one of the reasons that God called us to do what we do through radio, through the Ministry of American Family Association. I mean, I've been here almost 25 years. And the one thing that I can honestly say through all of that time is that it really just gives me a charge when I hear the stories of these other ministries who are being faithful and are using, isn't it amazing? We go along, I'm going to bring it right back home to using the gifts that God has given them for the kingdom. And look what happens when God-fearing and God-loving people come together. We have the means with a national radio network and the other great ministries we have within AFA to use it to help other ministries who don't have those type of resources.
Yep.
No jealousy in it. No. Let's just come together and do what God would have us to do.
Partnerships, and
that's it.
And Jesus sent them out two by two. He didn't send them out one by one.
Amen.
And I've never seen one grow by themselves. It's usually at least in tandem, if not. And it talks about a three-strand cord. And we've ministered with others and have united with them, and they've been blessed. They've blessed us, and in turn, God's blessed all of us, and we thank God for that. India Partners. Praise God.
Praise God.
Well, let me share a story with you, and then we're going to look at Matthew 25. But I want to start with a story by essayist Frank Borman. He's down in Australia. He is an Englishman, but he would write for a paper. And in the course of a walk one day, Frank came upon a sight that he wrote about. Here it is. Dozens of blackbirds were in trees, on power lines and on a fence and flying about. As he walked further, he saw what they were looking at and for what they were hanging around for. There was a beautiful strawberry patch with beautiful red strawberries ready for harvest. Isn't that a picture? Sounds good.
And in My mouth's watering.
Yeah. In the middle of the strawberry patch was a scarecrow, which he realized was keeping the blackbirds away from feeding on the strawberries. Then he walked and noticed something else about the scarecrow. On each shoulder of the scarecrow were two blackbirds who all around their beaks were red strawberry juice. These two blackbirds had overcome all their fears and had feasted on the strawberries while their peers were so fearful that they could do was only thing they could do was observe and dream of how good those things really would be. Scarecrows. I preached this sermon years ago. I called it Scarecrows and Strawberries. And what Frank Borman is saying, in the Bible, there's several scarecrow stories. Goliath is a scarecrow story. The giants in the land that kept the 10 spies from wanting to go in, those are scarecrow stories. And so one of them is found in Matthew 25, 14, 13, where these talents are given, 5, 2, and 1, to different individuals. The giver of the talents goes away. Use them. He comes back. The man who was given 5, he gets 5 more. And here's the word. He says, enter into the joy of the Lord.
That's right.
Okay? The guy who had 2, he had 2 more. Says the same thing. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The one who had given 1, he said, I won't go into everything he said, but he buried it. And he said, here it is, this 1 talent. And he said, why shouldn't you at least put it in the bank and draw an interest? At least I got that much out of it. He didn't say enter in the joy of the Lord. He said something else. For to everyone who has more, it says, therefore, that talent was taken for him and given to the one who had 10 talents. And he was cast, this unprofitable servant, into outer darkness. Now, again, it's not salvation we're talking about. But we are talking about stewardship. We're talking about discipleship. We're talking about what God has given to us. And that's when you made the reference a moment ago about AFR and AFA. God's given us a pretty big microphone. and we choose to help ministries that we know are making a difference in people's lives. Operation Christmas Child, India Partners, these are just two. We work with Tim Todd and getting the Bible into the hands of students. So we work with a lot of people in trying to carry out the gospel, being faithful. So we've been given talents. We're not to bury them, are we?
No, we're not. No, we're not. We're supposed to, you know, and going all the way back to when I've listened to Brother Don talking about when he started the ministry, when God called him to start the ministry. You know, there was a lot of people who lined up to help him, and he never forgot that. And so one of the very things that he has done over the years is to sow those seeds, put them right back in to help others. You know, we just had the brother come over from Africa with a bicycle ministry that he has, and we helped him get a radio station on air. And that was another opportunity for us to share the love of Christ through what we have as a medium of radio. And look at that. That's just taking our talents, isn't it? Same thing. Not burying them somewhere, not letting those instruments that we have, the transmitters and all the other, the line, whatever, sit on the shelf. We weren't using them at the time. Why not let this brother use it?
What resources, let's make it personal,
yeah.
What resources has God given you to use for his glory and his honor? Resources. Now, this is talents. It was an amount of money, a great deal of money. We realize that. It wasn't just gifts like abilities, but it was resources. So if you could take this and say, God has given me resources, whether it's financial, whether it's a gift that of an ability that God's given me, leadership, influence, whatever resources God has given you, they are to be used. And it really is for God's glory, and it will result in our good.
Yes, sir.
And so here's the story. And there's four things that I'm going to wait, and we're going to give all four of these things that I looked at and I found that were significant concerning this teaching, Derek, because I am just telling you, I believe God, he wants to bless us. It's not he's up there withholding. He wants to bless us. He desires
Amen.
To do that.
I agree.
And it's not health and wealth we're saying. It's just faithfulness.
That's right.
It is in God's character to bless. Now, here's the issue. In America, we think, used to it was, when I first started preaching, three-bedroom house with a two-car garage. That was, quote, that was God's blessing. Really, God's blessing is becoming more like Jesus. You remember that scripture in Romans 8:28 that God takes all things to work them for good? Okay. Now, what is for good? The interpretation, if you read on down in that chapter, verse 29, it says, whom he foreknew, he predestined. And here's the key, I believe, to be conformed to the image of his son.
Yes.
What is ultimately good in Bert Harper's life, in Derek Caden's life, in Alex McFarland's life, in Brent Creeley's life, is to become more like Jesus.
That's right.
And it is not always easy.
Not at all.
And sometimes we go through the school of hard knocks in order to accomplish that, doesn't it?
Yeah, we do.
I've been there. You've been there. And that's one reason you're on here. I wanted folks to hear some testimony about how God takes some difficulty and yet uses it to conform us to be more like Jesus. And that's our goal for you today. You're listening to Exploring the Word, Bert Harper. Alex McFarland's unable to be with us today, but sitting in for him is Derek Caden, our vice president here at American Family Radio. We appreciate him so much. And we'll be back right after the break. If you have time, look up Matthew 25, 14 through 31. It will bless your life.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this family, Jeremy and Sharon, and a couple kids, and they're all very healthy, and they did something to save money. They switched from health insurance to MediShare, and then they had a third baby, a little girl named Anya, and she was very sick.
We've had a lot of hospital visits.
A whole week in a children's hospital, CAT scans and blood tests and chemical tests, and I think we saw a dozen doctors. It was all shared.
Yeah, the bills were shared by the other members of MediShare. That's how this works. So get this, they save hundreds a month. They don't have to deal with health insurance companies or government health care plans. And they get to be part of a community that cares.
MediShare has always been there for us and helped meet the needs that we have as a family.
No wonder this is growing so fast. It is worth looking into. Here's how. Call 855-PSALM-23. Now, it's available everywhere but Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Dr. Tony Evans says, since we have two eyes that point in the same direction, what we see is determined by what we decide to look at. It sounds obvious, but we'll learn an important lesson today about the power of perspective as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Two hunters saw in the newspaper a bounty, $5,000 for every wolf. So they went out deep into the forest. In the middle of the night, one of the men was awakened by a sound. There was a whole group of wolves surrounding the tent, salivating, prepared for the kill. The man, when he saw that he was surrounded, shook his friend and said, John, get up. We're rich. You see, your perspective will determine what you see. God wants you to shift your perspective about what you may be going through, what wolves are at your door nipping at your life that creates fear, frustration, and all the other things in life that cause us to be cast down. And God has a specific thing to help you address the wolves in your lives. God says, before you throw in the towel, throw up a prayer. Prayer that is relational communication with God is the link that God has provided every one of his children with which to make contact with him. It is his communication mechanism that brings the two realms, the spiritual and the physical, together. That's the point of contact.
For an in-depth look at God's perfect model of prayer, check out Tony's teaching series, The Lord's Prayer. Available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, we have highlights from the weekend shows, including Reince, Rush, and John McCain on President Trump's criticism of the media. Plus, a sheriff and a former CEO respond to the left-wing protest movement. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
Derek, I love exploring the Word because not just the teaching, but the little bit of the music we have for introduction. It energizes me.
Brent and I,
we worship whether anybody else does or not. We're over here worshiping. Let me share with you. We're not going to take phone calls today. We're going to answer questions from that have been posted at word@afr.net. And we're going to answer about 4 or 5 of those at the end of the program. So we'll not receive phone calls today. I just wanted everybody to know that. We're going to try to – Brent, they're responding really well, aren't they? And so we wanted to give that some significance. And that way I've got the answers ready, and Alex will be ready to take the Q&A by phone tomorrow. We're looking forward to that. But I was talking about Matthew 25, 14 through 30, and Derek, we were talking about these talents that were given to these three individuals. Two of them did great job. They increased them, doubled them. They entered in the joy of the Lord. The one guy, he did not, and he paid the consequences. I want to look at 4 reasons, investigative looking here, of why he did not do that. See what you think about that.
Okay.
One is, there was the thought of his insignificance. His two brothers, one had 5, the other one had 2. He only had 1. You know, sometimes the feeling of insignificant is so overpowering that we don't think we need to make a difference. Is God looking at what he's not given us, or does God look at what he has given us?
What he has given us is what matters.
It really does. Does it matter how much everybody else has?
No.
Okay, I'm not responsible for that, am I?
No.
That's so important, and I want you to know that. He said, and I'm quoting, kind of putting words into his mouth, I have only 1 talent,
And that fellow, he has two. And look at that guy. He has five. What is mine among so many? You know, that's the thought. I pastored for many years, and I want to tell you, I heard that over and over. I don't have a talent. I don't have a gift. I want to tell you about a lady, and she still blesses mine and Jan's life. And she didn't think she could do anything. And I was telling her some story about a lady that Jan and I knew who was Jan, one of Jan's best friends. Name was Wanda. She couldn't do a lot of things because of illnesses and back problems. She used to teach. She was active in missions. But because of her health, it was diminished. But she could bake cakes. And in the neighborhood that she lived in, people would move in. And when they did, she'd find out, she'd bake a cake, and her husband would take that cake to her, to them, and welcome to the neighborhood, tell them about the love of God, tell them they're welcome to our church. What a ministry. So I was using that as an illustration. There's a lady there that day, and she said, I knew I couldn't sing, I can't speak, I can't do anything, but she said, I can bake. And she started baking bread and cakes and giving it and blessing others. I've been the recipient of those gifts. I want to just tell you, use the resources God has given you. Now, one, there's the thought of insignificance because of comparison. I believe Satan uses comparison and a tool in his bag of arsenal to trick believers in being unfaithful.
That's 100% true. There's no question about it because, you know, wants us to sit in the church and look over at our brother over there, our sister over there, who seems to have all these great talents. And here we are. What we're doing is comparing ourselves to someone else.
Right.
When God wants us to just, as you said, come back, what's our model? It's Jesus. And when we look at Jesus, we find our significance through him.
Amen.
And whatever that talent may be, whatever that gift may be that we have that we can use, it's going to be for his glory. And if it is for his glory, it may not be but one, baking or whatever the case may be. Who cares? I mean, we do, obviously, but God doesn't.
God's looking at that one. If you want to know the truth, comparison was part of the first sin. When Lucifer started comparing what God had given him,
yeah,
he knew he was blessed, but he couldn't be like God. So he was comparing his position to God's position, and he said, I want to be like the Most High. Comparison can lead to pride, or it can lead to self-diminishing yourself of what God's created.
Yeah,
comparison is not good in that way. Only to God. We compare ourselves to God.
And that's sinful in both ways.
It is. I can't sing like them. I can't teach like them. I don't have as much money. And again, I'm reminded of the 10 spies. What did they do? They compared themselves to the giants, and they said, we're as grasshoppers in their eyes, so we're not going to go in. We're going to stay over here and eat in all this in the wilderness. Rather than going into the land flowing with milk and honey, we're going to stay over here in the wilderness. Comparison. You know, insignificance.
Comes back to our brothers, as you and I have had many conversations about one of our heroes, Caleb, being among them. And I always go back, Lord, give me that piece of the mountain over there that nobody else wants.
Amen.
You know, those giants are over there, but we already got them beat because you told us we did.
Amen. I love it. If Caleb's not one of your heroes, you read him, and I believe he'll become one of them.
I agree. That's why we got a grandson over here named Caleb.
You bet. I love my Caleb. And God wants faithfulness with what you have,
That's right. What
you don't have.
That's right.
Okay. Now, it's not a matter of pride. You don't say, look what I do. Have you ever heard the story about the rooster who thought the sun rose every morning to hear him crow? I know some folks like that too, you know.
Amen.
They got one thing, and they think they got it. You know, here it is. It is a balancing, and it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we have that balance,
yes, Derek. Sir.
Honestly, only through him. So if you're questioning what your talent is, use it for the glory of God, and don't let the scarecrow cheat you, okay?
Amen.
It's a scarecrow. It's false. Okay, the second reason, not only the first one is there's the thought of his insignificance, but secondly, there was fear of unfavorable circumstances. He didn't know everything that was going to happen in the future, and we never will. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay? That means I don't care what I do concerning the future. It's some matter of faith.
That's right.
Now, it's not really the size of your faith. Someone said it's the sort of your faith. Whose faith are you? Who you having faith in? You don't have faith in faith. You don't have faith in everybody, but you do put your faith in God and you move forward. This guy was not willing to do that.
No.
He hid his talent. The conditions were not perfect. Do you know folks that are waiting for everything to just be perfect for them to decide, okay, when I get all this, I'll tithe. When I get through this, I will be a part of Share-a-thon. When everything is just right and I've got enough money in the bank, then I'll share it with others.
Get off my toes, Bert.
Well, hey, brother, I got one pointed at you and three pointed straight back at me. I'm one of them.
But you're exactly right. That's what happens to us. And all that does is marginalize our faith.
It does.
Because God gives us those opportunities to really show just how much we trust Him.
Yeah. If I only knew what would happen on tomorrow, the book of James talks about that.
Yes, it does.
And it's a sin of presumption. Psalm 19 talks about deliver me from the sin of presumption. We do it by faith. Is there any guarantees? No. Dan Celia, good friend of ours, I'm one of those, Dan, tell me everything you know,
yeah,
so I'll be safe for the future. He said, Bert, there's one thing I know about the future. I don't know. I just know who holds the future. And he keeps hold of us. So be careful about that, about conditions being perfect. Also, the situation, most of the time, it's to be overcome. The Bible says we're more than conquerors, says we're overcomers. So people that really have success usually overcome some difficult circumstances.
Yes, they do.
It doesn't tell us the story about the one who had five talents and the other one who had two. I doubt if it was perfect because everything, I'm sure they had to overcome some obstacles that were in their way. Was it Felix or Ananias? Which one said, I'll choose a more convenient season, you know, to be saved? You know, are we looking for a convenient time? I saved when I was 12 years old. God really came into my life, and he changed my life, even as a 12-year-old age kid, Derek. And he changed it completely. But I had waited, honestly, for a year and a half, thinking, okay, after I get overcome this thing, I'll be ready. I found out I couldn't overcome all those things in order to be ready to ask Christ to be Savior and Lord of my life. And when I came by faith and said, Lord, you come into my life, save me. I cannot do it myself. Things changed. And I'm praying there'll be people out there today. They're waiting for a more convenient season. They're waiting for something to happen. They call it a Damascus Road experience. You don't need to wait. The Bible talks about today being the day of salvation.
Yes, it does. You know, you can wait on an epiphany. You can wait on a lot of things. I know I was hard-headed. I wasn't 12 years old. I was almost twice that age. And when I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and I look back on it, and I had many opportunities. I may have shared this. We had a brother by the name of Mike Williams. I'll just throw your name out there, Mike. And Mike actually tried to share Christ with me when I was in college. I was like a sophomore. He's a little older, and I knew there was something different about him. And Bertie, you know, he preached the gospel to me in so many words, really, just by his life. And I scorned it. I did not accept it completely. And many years later, I actually was at a Promise Keepers rally and walked out a door. And when I tell you I ran into him, I mean literally.
Yeah.
And I recognized him right off the bat. Hadn't seen him in 20 years. And I looked at him and I said, Mike Williams. And he said, like he knew me.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I said, I just want to tell you, brother, you planted a seed that day.
Sometimes we don't know what we're doing. A lot of times people who reap a soul, there's the planting and the watering that's gone on before by others. Very few win people just on their own. the God's put his people at strategic places to do a strategic work at a strategic time. Now, that's the truth.
Yeah, it is.
And so God doesn't waste anything. Don't let the situation you're in keep you from following God, doing everything God wants you to do, and do it now. The third thing I wanted to share is there's a problem with bad information. Okay? He said, I've heard you're a hard man. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't, but he didn't get the full story. I am telling you, I believe a lot of the reasons a lot of the people are not being saved today is they've given bad information about our Heavenly Father, Derek. He's a good Father. He is good, and he desires that for us. And I think a lot of people, oh, he's a boogeyman. He's the man upstairs that's trying to keep us out of heaven. He's a steward man. No, he is holy, but he's loving. And those are the two attributes you just can't get away from. He is holy and he is love. He's got other attributes, but those two are equal. And his loving nature doesn't do away with his holiness, and his holiness doesn't do away with his loving. He cares for us. This guy had bad information about the person who'd given him the talents. I think there's a lot of people out there that maybe have some bad information about God.
I do too. They don't trust in God's character. His character never changes. The Word tells us that he changes not, and he will not change. He hasn't changed. He's been consistent since the beginning of time. And look at how we are in our culture today. I mean, because we have no absolutes in our lives or don't want absolutes in our lives, look at what we've done. We've tried to marginalize God. We're not going to marginalize God.
That's the reason we do Exploring the Word. That's why you need to be faithful in a church that preaches the Word, so you can know the Heavenly Father, that he is good. No, he's not a mush God. Now, there's a lot of people who want a mush God. They say, the God is I know him. No, God don't fit into your category. He doesn't fit into anybody's category. He's a category all of his own, but he's the God of the Bible, and he is knowable. That's awesome. That God, who is beyond our thoughts, beyond our ways, but he has made himself known. Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And you want to know Jesus. You make much of Jesus. Everything you do. If you're a teacher, if you're a preacher, if you're giving a testimony, man, make much of Jesus. I don't care what else you might do or might not do exactly right, but you give the credit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says when he's lifted up, he'll draw men to himself, Derek.
Bert, you ought to just go ahead and preach, brother. Just preach it.
Well, I could. I've been tempted to just take this dialogue and make it a monologue, but I try not to.
No, but I mean, what you're saying, and I'm not making light of it. I love your enthusiasm for the Word of God and the love of God, because really, when we see this, we realize that it's all about our relationship with him. And our Christianity is the only faith that teaches that.
Amen. Listen, you're driving a truck, you're at your desk, you're going home from work, you got out of school, you're in the back seat with your mom driving. God loves you.
Amen.
And God has a great plan for your life, and that plan is to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, to know him as Lord. He changed my life. He'll change your life. He's changed Derek's life.
Amen, he has.
And he wants to change yours. You're listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio. We're going to come back with the last thing about, you know, why the guy hid his talent. You don't want to miss that. And so we'll be back right after the break with more.
You can't revive something that has never had life. Do most church attenders really need revival, or do they really need something else? Historically, spiritual awakening usually starts in the heart of believers in what we call revival, and that promotes and encourages a work of evangelism. Evangelism is the byproduct of a revived life. If you break down the word revival, re is new or again, and bible is life. So revival is new life or life again. The fact is, many church attenders don't need revival, they need Bible. The point is, you can't revive something that has never had life. As you pray for revival today, pray also for Bible, life, salvation to come to lost church members, people who, as Paul said, have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Don't assume just because someone fills a pew, they're filled with God. This is Steve Canfield, revivalist with Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
Is God calling you to pursue theological graduate education? What's keeping you from taking the first step? Is it time? What if you could choose from flexible class options? Is it money? What if competitively priced seminary offered academic scholarships? Do you think you're alone? What if your classmates were just like you, balancing careers and families with seminary? Hello, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Take the first step. Visit wbs.edu.
This is Tim Armstrong from the Worthy Walk radio program. I encourage you to listen as we work verse by verse through the scriptures each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Time here on American Family Radio. Join me as we explore the Word of God and learn to apply its truths to our lives each day. The Worthy Walk radio program, Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Central Time on American Family Radio.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
Jamming in here, I'm telling you what, Derek.
Amen,
it's good.
Brother.
Now, Derek's a music expert. I know 60s and 70s, and you know all that. And listen, that's good music, though, isn't it?
That's beautiful music.
It touches life. Listen, I wanted to do something. I hadn't been here for a week, again, illness, but I was before that. Derek, I got Jan and I were up in Boonville, Mississippi at New Covenant Family Worship Center. We did our, you know, one of our conferences, our family revivals there. David Kretsch is the pastor, and we met a young man. He came up the last night, and he said, man, I listened to Exploring the Word. His name was Kyle Stacy, and I hope Kyle's listening to today. He said, I listen just about every day, and I love to go. I learned this from J.J. Jasper. J.J. would go anywhere. He always brings a name or two back about people who are listening, and I'm a listener of J.J. Jasper, and I always enjoyed that, and I said, man, if I ever get a chance, I want to do that. Because it's great, because that's who really blesses us. God blesses us, but he blesses us through our listeners and supporters, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Amen.
Yes, he does.
So, Kyle, I hope you're listening today. We were talking about the talent, the guy that buried the one talent, the other five, the guy that had five, he got five more. The one that got two, he got two more. He buried his and nothing, you know, bad. Now, I think he was fearful because he thought the task was too big for him, that he couldn't accomplish it. Usually the tasks are bigger than we are, but it still you have to step out in faith.
Amen.
So you do want to try to that. You know, try great things for God, you know. That's just something that William Carey said, that he started out the first modern missionary. He said, you know, he said, believe great things for God, attempt great things for God.
Amen.
So you step out in faith to accomplish that. And God wants you, he's not trying to, oh boy, he didn't make it. No, it's kind of like Stephen when he was being stoned, he looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus standing, okay? The only time in the Bible you find standing at the right hand of the Father. All the other times he's seated. I believe there's a picture there. That's my boy. That's my son. Yes. I think he's giving him a welcome.
I do too.
And
that's one of my favorite images of the Word.
Come on in, man.
Yes, sir.
Come on in. I know it was rough down there, but man, come on up here where I am.
And he went to sleep.
He went to sleep in Jesus.
In Jesus.
Amen. While we're saying goodbye down here, we're saying hello up there.
That's exactly right.
Amen. So the final thing that I wanted to share about these four reasons why the man possibly could have buried, and it's right here internally in the Scriptures, the fourth and final reason I gave was the possibility of failure. I don't want to fail. Okay. Listen, failure is always a possibility when we try, Alex. Alex,
Derek. I'm Derek.
Derek, the reality is that I failed many times. One of my favorite heroes, I loved basketball, grew up trying to play basketball. John Wooden, coach of the UCLA Bruins, more championships than anybody. UConn women's kind of breaking some of those records he has. But anyway, I remember him saying he never got on to his players for trying some new things, you know?
Yeah, he was an innovator himself.
Exactly.
And, and he kept on making it new for his players. And, you know, all those kind of things. He saw the talent that came to his team, and he would mold it into a team. Those individuals, mold them into a team. And he was using their talents that God had given them
to the greatest potential.
Yeah.
Okay. This guy, we don't know everything about him.
No, we don't
know the story, and it's a parable and out of that. I got a feeling there's some failures in his past.
Yeah.
Past failures many times haunt us. Okay?
Ooh.
They haunt us.
They really do.
Now, the guy who's the author of bringing past failures to our memory is Satan himself. He wants us to fail miserably. God only brings these things to our memory for our good, but Satan brings them to keep us from trying, to bring fear into our lives. So I believe the past haunted him a good bit about past failures. Listen, if the first time I preached, if it were not for the word in place of being 15 minutes long, it had been 5 minutes long. It was my favorite word, and I listened. Most painful thing you do is listening to yourself, you know?
Amen.
And people say, man, you must have been bad because listen to you now. I understand that, how God is able. But it is true, past failures, you're either going to learn from them and try again, or keep you from never trying and remain in your failure. It's a sin to remain in the failure, Derek. It really is. This guy buried his talent. Don't know why, but there was a possibility of failure in his past. If you have pet failure in your past, don't let that dominate your life.
No.
Learn from it. Take responsibility for what you did.
Yes.
and correct it, but do not let it dominate your life.
Yeah, that's why he says tell us to keep short accounts. Because if we allow those things to stew in us, Satan does nothing but gain the victory over our lives. And that's not what God wants for you and me.
That's right.
Or anybody. He doesn't want Satan to have that foothold in our lives. That's why he died for us individually.
The failure is really not making the effort.
No, it's not.
Failure is not making. That's what failing, and then you fail, at least you made the effort.
What did Thomas Edison say? Every time I fail, I'm one step closer to success.
He had a lot more failures than I can't remember all the times. I remember that.
Thousands and thousands. But look at what we remember him for.
Yeah.
We don't remember his failures. We remember what one thing that we have is that beautiful light bulb above us.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And that failures produce that.
And all I got to say is praise God that he didn't let his failures rule his life.
If you're letting failure rule your life today, we're asking you to turn to Christ. Don't be like this guy who had the one and buried it, and you know he had bad information. Don't let bad information about our Heavenly Father dominate you where you're not trusting him. You can trust him. The older I get, and I use this quite a bit on the radio, but it is from John 6. It says many of the disciples that were following Christ after Jesus said something very difficult for them to do, to be his disciple, many walked away. And Jesus turned to Peter and the apostles and said, "Are you also going to go away?" And Peter said, "To whom would we go? You have the words of life." Anybody who is listening today and you're looking for answers, you're looking for psychological answers, you're looking for physical answers, you're looking for all kinds of answers, I am telling you right now, turn to Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him.
Amen.
And we want you to know him. You say, what does it mean, a simple prayer? Well, God's looking at a heart. I'm amazed at how people are saved. They're saved by grace through faith. It is the same way. Now, some people have uttered the exact words. I've heard people say, I don't know what to say, but man, their heart was right, and they got right with God. God's looking on the heart, and he's drawing people unto himself right now, Derek, asking them, that truck driver, that person that's listening in prison, that secretary that's got the radio on, that school teacher that's had a rough day and headed home, or maybe they didn't have school today and they had to go to the doctor and got bad news. Jesus Christ is wanting them to know him and the power of his resurrection. The power is able to overcome all the things that this world throws our way. Amen. And this world throws some pretty tough stuff at you, hasn't it?
Yes,
you and Debbie, you know about that.
Yeah, when we talk about it, golly, it'll be 12 years. And, it was our Christopher, our middle son. One thing Bert and I share in common, we were blessed to have three sons.
And all of them real close to the same age.
Yes, really were.
Played ball together, went to school together.
Yep. And man, the one that I lost and your Micah were, golly, when they grew up, they were just so close. They loved each other, spent a lot of time with each other. But yeah, we had a son who was killed accidentally in a shooting accident. And, you know, during that period of time, it was so, so difficult to even want to get up out of bed, to even want to just, I don't know, put one foot in front of the other for a period of time, because, I mean, it hurt. It was a physical pain. It's the only way I know how to describe it, because, I just kept thinking, you know, he's coming back. He's going to be here tomorrow when I wake up or whatever. You know, that's what I was hoping. But at the same time, God just gave me so much peace, even in the midst of that storm of loss. He gave me so much peace. I can't begin to tell you, Bert. And he did it in the form of people. He did it in the form of, I don't know how to describe it, put it into words, but I do know this too. He did it in the form of his word. And I praise God that I had the opportunity to have come to know him as my Lord and Savior, and to see him work in my life in the way that he had, and how he had prepared our marriage to be able to go through it, because we had some rough times prior to, but he never wavered. He never wavered in the midst of
all. Is he a friend that sticks closer than a brother?
Oh, man, yes. Yes. And today, even, I still miss my son. I still wish I had him. But I know, without a doubt in my heart, that I'll see him again. And that's because I know that I know the maker of it all, Jesus.
Would it make sense without God?
No.
So people out there who are trying to survive a loss like you and Debbie had, without God, what?
How do you do it?
What are they hanging on to?
I don't know. That's why I think that a lot of times I've had friends in my life that were married and their marriages just were completely destroyed after they lost a child. And I really believe a lot of that had to do with the simple fact that they had never completely and totally put their trust in Christ.
That person that prayed and is praying for the child to be healed because of an illness and they did not heal, and they're blaming God today. Do you understand some of their anger?
I do.
Okay.
I do, because I had, you know, two of my sons, one of them had a real hard time with it. And he finally did come to a point where he was able to truly say, I'm not angry with God. And I told him, I said, son, you have no reason to be angry with God.
Do you understand it today, or are you waiting one day to understand it all? Isn't there this song, I'll Understand It Better By and By?
Yeah. I don't have to completely understand it. I just have to trust that God holds all the answers. And I know he does.
We had one of the guys that called, it came into word@afr.net. And his questions, the reason and it's the only one we're going to really get to today, is he was asking about certain things like that, about he's in torment, he's having difficulty, and Tracy. And, you know, he's just suffering in torment. If you had not gone through the issue of forgiveness, you know, accidentally, I know all of it, could have prevented it. If you don't forgive, is the possibility of the torment remaining?
Yes. And I think what happens, I have a vivid memory of this. We were at the hospital, and at that time, they had not pronounced Christopher to be dead. I had actually walked back to the ambulance, and they were working on him, trying to revive him. And I didn't say anything to anyone in the family, but I knew that Chris was going to die or was dead. And they were trying desperately to bring him back or revive him. And when they came in and gave us the announcement and said, I'm sorry, Mr. and Ms. Hayden, we've done everything we can, but your son passed away. My wife and I, you know, of course, as everyone in the room, we cried. And within just a matter of moments, my wife said, what about Michael? Where is Michael? Michael was the young man who had accidentally shot Chris. Yeah. And her heart went out to him because she understood my son is not here. Michael is still alive. We've got to make sure he's okay.
The reason I bring that up, and we got just about a minute left. Matthew 18:21-35 talks about forgiveness. And Peter was a big guy, and he said, oh, seven times. And Jesus said 70 times seven. If you read the rest of that in verse 34, when the forgiveness wasn't taking place because of some things, he said that forgiveness results in torment. The greatest thing you can do in your life right now is find forgiveness in Christ for your sin and then forgive others. Now, I'm not saying life will be brilliant after that, but
no.
I'm telling you, it's a place to start, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And you have got to learn and understand that you have to forgive before you can forgive, be forgiven before you forgive others.
Eric, thank you for being with us today.
Bert, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. We pray it's been a blessing to you today. Alex and I'll be back tomorrow, and we'll be answering your questions.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.